PAs, allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everybody. Our guest today is a phenomenal guy. You may know him as GareBear88 on TikTok. He is very inspirational, always talking about having a healthier mindset and body, working to be the best version of yourself. We talked a whole lot. We talked about a whole lot of cool topics, ranging from the importance of exercise to dealing with bullies and haters. He's just a dope guy. I think we could all benefit from what he has to say. I present to you GareBear88. Hey, Gary, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah,
it's funny because like we were talking and like I totally thought we were live before, and like I was like roaring to go, and then I was like, oh, we're not live. I'm like, well, this is a different feel right now.
Dude, you were diving into it, and I was like, wait, this is really great stuff. Like this needs to be recorded. I was like, I should probably tell them that we're not actually being recorded. But
it's like you want to say it again, go for it. The biggest thing like in life, I feel, is like you become like the five people you hang around with the most, and it's very important to pick and choose who you want to be and why. And everybody kind of balances you out, and you learn something from everybody, you know. But like, I definitely thrive to like meet people like you that have a message that want to like make people's lives better. Because Jim Carrey was definitely one of my personal heroes, and like somebody I always did impressions of. And one of my favorite quotes of his was, you know, the greatest currency you have is the effect you have on other people. And you know, if one kid hears your message, or, you know, a parent that is dealing with like kind of homophobic like ideals and like placing them on their son or daughter, you know, and you made their life better, that is just tremendously awesome. And more people need to follow you, and I hope you get into like the millions within like a couple of months.
Appreciate it. That'd be crazy. And yeah, I totally agree. I think there's a ripple effect too. Like if you impact one person's life, that person could impact their friend or their mom, and it just ripples and becomes exponentially larger than the actual source. You know, as you said, Jim Carrey inspired you. Well, look at you now. You have 40,000 something followers on TikTok, and he shaped kind of your mindset or how you thought about things. And so now you have 40,000 people following you, and it stemmed from Jim Carrey. So it is this kind of big ripple effect that I think a lot of people should realize that, because even if you have like one person following you, that one person can make a big difference within that ripple effect. So, well, I appreciate your kind words. Why don't you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself, you know, who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm 32. I'm from the south side of Chicago in a nice little suburb area. And, man, you know what's funny is usually I try to talk about other people and their experiences because I don't know, but it's kind of funny to like talk about myself. But like here, my biggest goal is to every morning you got to wake up, and your biggest goal is to conquer your mind and what you're about to do and what you're about to achieve. And what people don't understand is most of the time that it's you that's in the way of you achieving your goal. And like, that's my biggest thing. So like with like ego and like emotional motives of like, mostly people say things or like buy a watch or like a piece of clothing to have somebody compliment them. Well, if you can just kind of get past that nonsense and realize it's all an illusion and it's just a byproduct of your thought, and your thoughts create your reality. That's like who I am. I'm like consistently changing my mindset in order to be the best version of myself. And I'm highly into fitness. I totally just did a 12-mile bike ride in this freezing cold rain. And like, I was driving past these women, and like this car was trying to like get past me. And I was like, dude, go, like, stop being so indecisive. And the women, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. And then like, I looped around, and they like, I came back, and they're like, are you from like South Africa? And like, you've never seen rain before, and you're just trying to experience. I'm like, there's a lot of rain in South Africa, but like, no, I live three blocks that way. But that's what people don't understand. Like, I was freezing out there, and most people spend their whole life trying to be comfortable. And my whole goal is to be comfortable being uncomfortable, which like stems from like Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and David Goggins, and like people like Nick Bear, who I like highly look up to. And if people just spent more time disciplining themselves, they would realize that their mind is this unlimited, untapped potential that they have. And that's why I try to teach in my thing. So that's like more about me. Like, I just like fitness. I like working hard. I like having a good job and, you know, just kind of paying it forward because God blessed me with like a lot of great gifts. And like, I've been given such a head start that I got a lot of catching up to do. So sorry, I went on like a rant there, but your turn.
No, that was great. That was awesome. And I think there's that needs to be touched on a little bit. It is the whole triumph through adversity thing is the when you have a hard time or something that's a struggle that you need to get through, you know, it's sweeter. The victory is sweeter when it's harder. You know, if everything is handed to you, if you're given, you know, the most athletic body, if you're given, you know, the prettiest face, like, okay, those things you can't control. That might be the best example. But if you're given like the, you know, if you're given everything in life, there's no you didn't earn it. That doesn't mean anything. Right. But, exactly. But when you actually struggle and earn it, it makes it sweeter and it makes it something. You mentioned David Goggins. I just followed him on Instagram. Can you tell the audience just a little bit about him, like what he does?
Sure. David Goggins is a former Navy SEAL. Well, once you're a SEAL, you're always a SEAL, but he was a former Navy SEAL that grew up in a, Indiana town that was actually pretty close to the headquarters of where the KKK were would do rallies and blah blah. Like he actually sat in front of the kid whose dad was the leader of that chapter in that town, and you know he heard the N-word all the time. His dad was running prostitutes out of his like roller rink area and selling drugs. And like David Goggins never went to school because he was consistently working at this roller rink. So his education was really affected by that. And he wasn't even able to read and he cheated. And, you know, he would always try to like fit in. But the thing is, like when you have an abusive family like that, well, it's hard to fit in with like somebody that doesn't wonder, well, am I going to eat today? And like such things like that. Well, he was like 20 something years old and he was like over 300 pounds and he was killing roaches for a living. And he had to lose 110 pounds within a month in order to even join the Navy because there was an age requirement, which was coming up. And only one of his fucking, oh, sorry.
You're fine. No, we can pass. Yeah.
I was like, dude, I don't know how those rules are on YouTube, but you cuss a lot on your TikTok, so you better calm your ass down today. He lost the weight in like a month, and on top of it, he had to teach himself how to read and pass the ASVAB and do it in a way in which you have to get a certain amount of points to become a SEAL or to even try out. So he tried out for SEAL training and he failed twice medically. So he basically went through it 5 days, which is no sleep for 5 days. And then the third time they're like, dude, if you don't pass this time, you're done. And he had $30,000 in debt. He had a kid on the way and, you know, he ended up doing it. And he just went on to do so many more things within, you know, the military. He went to Army Ranger School for fun. Like, I don't know. Do you know anything about Ranger School?
No. I mean, I assume it's hard.
But. Yeah, like it definitely is like compares to SEAL training because they tell you to like gain 20 pounds of fat. So when you go there, you're going to lose all this weight. You're going to be like sticking bones because they don't feed you for like 3 months because there's three phases. There's Florida phase, mountain phase. And then I can't really think about the last phase, but yeah, it's crazy. And he became the squad leader and he ended up trying out for Delta Force and he didn't make it. And now he runs ultra marathons, raising millions of dollars for kids whose parents died in the armed forces. So the dude's just like the literal epitome of badassery and also adversity triumpher person, if you want to say.
Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah, doesn't he get up at like 4 a.m. every day and run like a crazy amount of miles or something? And
well, ultra marathons are 100-mile marathons and they do it in 24 hours, but he's able to complete them way quicker. Like he did one thing called the what is that called, something something, something. Anyways, it's like 238 miles, and they do it in like 4 days. It's like, dude, what? Like you're insane. Right? like, dude, that is amazing. Like, and you know, he just does it because, like, that's his, like, people that go drink, like me, if I don't work out, it's going to be bad for everybody, especially me, because it's the number one underutilized antidepressant, and I have all this energy, and I got to put it towards something. And, you know, if you put it towards something productive, like making TikToks like you make, and channels like you make, and clothing like you make, which I didn't wear the shirt because it's absolutely freezing here today.
That's okay. Not judging.
But, yeah, dude, like, you know, use the gifts towards what God gave you.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get into fitness? Was it just something you were always interested in, or did something kind of set that in motion? Did you have a hard time that led you to fitness?
I always loved movies, and I always liked the bad guy and like the Joker, and like I always was like drawn to people that were like just awesome and different. And when I was like 5 or 6, I used to, instead of watching cartoons, I'd watch ESPN, and they would work out, and I would do the workouts along with them. And then I was like, well, I want to be huge and look powerful, because all the people on these movies I watch were powerful, and I wanted to, and I felt that because I have such high empathy, and I could feel every character's emotion in every movie I ever watched. So like, when I was watching these guys on TV, I'm like, dude, I want to be like that. So when I was like 9 years old, I told my mom to pull over and go to the Gold's Gym, and I walked in, and I go, dude, how old do I gotta be here, you know, to join? He's like, where's your mom? I'm like, she's in the car. How old do I gotta be? He's like, 14. I'm like, all right, I'll see you then. And then like a month after I turned 14, I was a member there, and I was fortunate enough to have like some dudes train me for like a year, and they taught me everything. And then I went on, and now I'm 32 and I'm an old man, and I can't even bend over after a workout without going, oh my God, my knee hurts. What the fuck?
Oh God. Well, bad. That's starting to happen to me. So
how old are you?
24.
Oh God, dude. Oh, that's so sick. Oh, dude.
The body just starts, you know, it's slowly, you just notice different things. You know, one day it's like, oh, why does my hips feel like this? And then
you're like, I got hurt in bed. I was sleeping. How did I hurt my neck sleeping? But it's fucked up.
I actually have a bad shoulder. It's not an impingement, but it's like where the bone, the rotator cuff bone, it's like, it's the muscle or the thing in between it is kind of like sawed down. So it's like rubbing bone on bone. It's a genetic thing mostly.
Okay. I was like, you look like a baseball player with the beard and the long hair.
No. But it does affect baseball players. That's it's a common thing amongst pitchers, I think.
Yeah, I'm starting to I have a whole thing of red vines here.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I said I'm so into fitness, but I'm eating like a massive amount of red vines right now.
So I saw you, or I found you on a TikTok. You were talking about hookup culture and Grindr and the problem with young gays, and why so many younger gay kids can't find relationships or have a weird perspective on relationships is because of Grindr and hookup culture, or that's a part of it. Do you recall that TikTok video?
Yeah,
specifically.
For sure.
Or, yeah.
Just by, like, time.
Yeah. There was a few, I'm sure, that were very similar. What, I guess, what inspired you to make that? Like, was it a personal experience or more of an observation?
Well, I think that one, a lot of the reason, well, just to answer your question point blank, I just had a lot of bad relationship experiences. And, you know, when I first, like, tried to, like, go on a date when I was 21, I was walking around one of the local malls with him, and I grabbed his hand. It's like, oh, finally I could do this. And he like pulled away. And then like for the first time in my life, I felt like insecurity. I was like, wait, what? Why? Like, what? Like, I want to actually piss off the people that, you know, and that they got a problem. Cause like I'm me and I accept me. And then like, because I had empathy, I felt that like, I've never felt that level. And like, and then I just slowly just took it over from everybody in the community and all my exes. And then, unfortunately you get cheated on and stuff and you forgive people. And, you know, you just, I rationalized it like, you know, maybe they didn't have as good of an upbringing as me. So I have to be the one that's patient because they're trying to find, like acceptance through other avenues because they weren't accepted at a younger age. But really, it's just like, it's kind of bullshit, dude. You're just kind of giving a pass to somebody that doesn't deserve a fucking pass. And I tried my hardest, and like, I just live in like a kind of like a pissed off state a lot, which drives me to work out good and like made me make those videos because like I was just sitting there and something triggered me and I was like, and I walked out of my house and I go and I made it and I sat down and I posted it and I was like watching TV. I'm like, oh shit, this one's a blow up one. I'm like, sweet, that's cool. Yeah. The ones that like, yeah, don't think out. It's like the ones that are like, fuck, I feel this one, and then boom.
Yeah, it's when it comes from the heart. I mean, for anyone listening that wants to make TikToks or anything really, any type of content, my best advice would be to do it when you're in the moment. And if you can't film it at the time, at least try to write it down. Because when you are inspired and you just feel that clicking in you and you start talking, like it comes out way better than if you were trying to fake it or to script it, if that makes sense. So live in the moment and do it in the moment. So, the whole point of that video was kind of that because of society's view on LGBT people and like the overall acceptance of it, that it's forced us to kind of go behind the scenes if we want to hook up or if we want to have a relationship. And I think that's obviously a great point because like when we're not allowed to, you know, walk down the street holding our boyfriend's hand, or when we're not allowed to be, I remember one of my first like dates, as you could call it. I was 23 at the time, maybe 22. And I was in the movie theater, and like the whole time, like we really liked each other. We had already been on a date before, but we were in the movie theater, and like there was this tension, like hold each other's hand the whole time. And I was in Mississippi at the time, and I just felt this overwhelming fear of like judgment, and like I can't hold his hand because what if the person behind me is like a major homophobe? What if like we get beat up? Like what if we get yelled at? Like. And I was like, this doesn't, like, it brought tears to my eyes because, like, this doesn't exist for straight people, right? And we eventually did it. Like, we held hands for the last, like, half of the movie. And it was just so beautiful. Like, that was my first time actually, like, showing any type of public affection. And it brought tears to my eyes because, like, this is amazing. This is what straight people must have felt like, you know, in high school. And here I am at the end of my college career finally doing this. But yeah, it's one of those things that people, especially if you're straight or cisgender, like you just don't understand that we feel suppressed that way.
Sure, absolutely, especially in Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. So I went down there for college. It was kind of part of my own journey and running away from my sexuality because I didn't just like run away from sexuality, but I like tried to method act and become everything that I wasn't. So I wanted to become a Southern frat boy. Like I wanted to be like into football. So like, I don't mind football, but I'm not like, I pretended to be way more into it than I was. And so I went to the South and joined a fraternity and basically just, you know, became the opposite of what I was, all for the sake of trying to hide. I know.
Because there's that quote, like when your mind, your body, your soul, and your intentions aren't intertwined as one acting together to achieve your goals, your oars out of fucking sync. And that sucks and you feel that fucking, that wall you're hitting all the time, dude. But like, that's fucking brave though, that, you know, you realized it within a year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty quick evolution of an epiphany there. So good on you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was able to come out and enjoy post come out life and have some fun. And then, you know, yeah, it was about a year and a half later when I started this whole Alphabet Mafia thing. And I was like, you know, I need to figure out a way to give back. And basically I became I tried to be create and become the person that I wish I had, or that I wish was around when I was struggling, you know? So sure. Most of my high school and teenage years, I could have used something like the Alphabet Mafia, not to toot my own horn, but anyone who's active like that. I wish I was aware of that. So, and yourself. Looks like we have a question. Do you mind if we answer this question real quick?
Yeah, shoot.
So Furry Hater says, oh, wow. It's an interesting name. Why is not being normal and straight not being celebrated too? Or why are we normal people supposed to accept something that harms the society and objectively weird normal? It appears this question is from someone that is, are you anti-LGBT?
For sure.
This person, it says, why are we normal people? So what do you mean by normal? Okay, I'm going to ignore this question.
Traditional. No. I'll take it. So okay. Let me just say, you have 70,000 thoughts per day that make your reality, basically. So I'm assuming you grew up in a heterosexual place. You've never experienced any kind of hate. You are, I don't know how old you are. And you get rewarded for saying things that your dad or mom or uncle or something says, and you fit in, and it feels good to fit in, and you've never had to adverse over some bullshit like we've had to adverse through. So you saying that is just one, you trying to fit in, and then also getting a reaction from us, which you're not going to get from me, hence I'm so fucking smart and intelligent and emotionally aware. And hopefully you do evolve to the point where you understand that, literally, you sound like somebody that is from, like, say, 1960s going, well, the African-Americans, which they wouldn't have said African-Americans, are in our schools now, and there's a harm to society. You are so fucking outdated. You're like, it's 2020, and you're probably like a younger person, which is so fucking sad. Like, roll the fuck up, live your own life, and stop trying to put harm on other people. Like, if you were, say, like a fat person and you try to work out with me, you think I'm going to call you fat? No, I'm going to try to give you confidence, because we're all different. And that's what makes fucking life great, is because it's a mixing pot of a very, like, let me just say this. Humans have been here for like only 6,000 years or something. Dude, we're a blip on this earth. So there's a reason we're here, and it's to learn from everybody, because we're all the same, trying to achieve the same things. You just haven't learned that your 70,000 thoughts haven't been trained in order to realize that there's other people in the world, and it's just not you and your family and your happiness, because you affect other people. So you saying that is your idea, and you should probably read up on some other shit to, like, better yourself. Because if you are a guy, let me just say this really quick. If you're a guy, you say that in college, chicks are going to think you're fucking stupid. You're not going to be laid because of the fact that you don't accept gay people, because I guarantee they have a gay friend. Moving on.
And you can all the hot them. Ones. Dude, you went off. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. All the hot girls aren't going to accept you.
All day long. Like, I, this is great. I love to argue, too. My favorite class in college was argumentative speech. So I'm like Ben Shapiro, just on the opposite version of the side.
I love that. Gosh. Okay, look, and not to mention, this person is in our live stream. Like, this is the Alphabet Mafia live stream. Why are you in here? You know, I'm not going to say it's a waste of your time. You're learning, but why are you in here if you don't like us? It just seems counterproductive. Go do something that's productive to your own interests.
And you can't argue against people that don't have any logical sense. So, like, I would assume to ask, like, okay, I give them the benefit, and I'll be like, are you here to, like, maybe evolve your mindset and learn something new in which you didn't learn, which would open your horizons to accept LGBT people? Or what have, which is probably not true, they're just probably here to get a rise. Because, like, Howard Stern, like, his followers, like, 20, like, his listeners that liked him, like, listened to him for, like, 20 minutes. His haters listened to him for an hour and a half. So, you know, thanks for giving us a view.
Yeah, right. Oh, and I love it. I love it when haters comment on TikTok, because obviously commenting is good for the algorithm. So whenever I get, like, a bad comment, I go, hey, keep commenting. And then all of my followers keep commenting, like, eat it up. And it's funny. And it just extends the whole thing.
See, David Goggins blocks anybody that says anything negative on his feeds. He just doesn't deal with them. And I do the same thing. I have, like, a 700 block list on TikTok.
Jeez.
I don't get that many. Actually, I don't get that many negative comments. Everybody's really respectful, and they know that the ban gun comes out during my lives and shit if you say something sexual or something demeaning or something against somebody else. So I'm glad that they're really respectful on my platform. But yeah, dude, I just don't deal with people that are like that. I try to like educate them, but they got to want to educate themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. They can only educate them so much before they have to open up their mind themselves. You know, you can't force them to open up their mind, but you can provide them with information to an open mind. What, if you don't mind, can we talk a little bit more about your personal yourself? Like, when did you come out? But real quick, I want to thank you all so much for listening. And, you know, Gary is talking about taking care of himself. And, you know, my question to you is, are you taking care of your balls? Because if you don't have Manscaped, then you could be doing a better job at taking care of your balls. Enough great things about Manscaped. It makes for such a stress-free, anxiety-free shave. Their third-generation trimmer, Lawnmower 3.0, is waterproof. It has a cordless body. It is phenomenal. You can take it in the shower, reach around and get to those hard spots. So Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped was kind enough to just send me some product, and I've been using it for the past couple weeks now, and I cannot tell you enough good things about it. For a limited time, listeners of this podcast get 20% off and free shipping with code GAYFAM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping. Use code GAYFAM at manscaped.com. Trust me, guys, this isn't bullshit. It's worth it. Cleanest, smoothest, anxiety-free shave.
21.
21. So how did your parents take it and everything?
That was really cool. You know, the next day she was like, you know, I love you. Doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, nice. And then dad and me, we just didn't talk about it forever. I went on a date when I was like 24. Because like from 21 to 24, it was kind of like, okay, like I just kind of like brushed it off. But then at 24, I was like, you know what, I'll try to get a boyfriend. And then I had like a date New Year's, and I was getting ready, and he was kind of like, where are you going? And like, you know, the apple doesn't fall from the tree, and like, yeah, you could have moved out, you know, at a way younger age, but I like my parents. I like being at home. It's nice not having bills. It's fun. And but anyway, yeah. Moving on from that, I was like, well, if you don't know, you're kind of stupid. And I'm like he's like, yeah, but it's wrong. And I'm like, okay, let me just tell you, like, this is exactly word for word what I say. But would you rather have a kid that is so unconfident that he kills himself because he doesn't accept who he is, and like you just kind of maybe pushed him towards that with your statement? And literally in the gay lottery, you won the jackpot, like, of gay guys, because I'm friends with all your friends. I shake hands harder than you, dude. I like look people in the eye when I meet them. I work hard. I work out. Like you can't even, like, nobody really assumes that I'm gay until like I say it or something. And it's like, so all those things, like, you know, I could like, and I have nothing against people that wear makeup. Honestly, I do the Joker makeup and stuff, and I think makeup is like an art form, and I think the people that do it,
oh,
it
totally is
shit. But like I know, like, how much harder would it be on you if I was like wearing makeup and high heels and walking around wearing mom's clothes, like, which is not like, do your thing, dude. I dressed up like the Joker probably like 9,000 times. It wasn't even Halloween. Like, dude, I'm weird as fuck. Yeah. And like, not saying that wearing those things is weird. I'm just saying it's not traditional. And like, right. I told him that, and he's like, well, and like, you know, he doesn't know how to express himself. So I left, and it's like, you shouldn't like have to leave, you know, to go on a date having had that conversation prior. And the only thing is, like, everybody that I date has not shown me that they're worth it. And, you know, they don't have the qualities that I align myself with. It's like, I always joke, like, everything I liked about guys growing up, none of them have any of the qualities that I like. Like I am like a frat boy, dude. Like, I can go into a frat and I'll be the president within a week. Like, that's just yeah. Who I am. You know, like, I'm just like a straight dude. And like, I'm very on it. Like, I'm emotional, but I'm not. But like, long story short, like, all my friends are straight. For the first time within this week, I started hanging out with this girl, and we've become like really good friends. And I'm like, damn, this is different. Like, this is a different feel. Like usually gay guys only hang out with girls, and like, they have very hard time hanging out with straight guys. But yeah, it's just, it's a different type of world that we live in, that we have to triumph over these little obstacles, which is fine though.
Sure. So obviously, you're very into fitness. We've talked about that, and you have a, you know, I mean, I've seen your Instagram. You have huge arms, good body. Do you think that, because a lot of people would say yes, but do you think that there's a toxic, that there's a toxic side to this whole masculine fit personality in the gay community specifically? Whereas if you don't have abs, you don't have muscles, then you're ugly. Is this, I mean, a lot of people say this is a problem. What are your thoughts?
I think that no matter what, physical features will always be important to people. Especially if you yourself have them. I always say that I made a TikTok like many, many months ago that got hit like a lot of views, and that kind of opened the door for people to understand that I wasn't just here to like post thirst traps or like be typical, whatever. And I said, if you have a good face and like you basically won the genetic lottery, you didn't earn that face. It was just, it happened that your parents had were good looking and it created that. And so don't feel that that's going to get you by, because when you grow up, people are going to evolve and have a good mindset and realize that being kind and good and an actual decent person, that's the cool thing to do. So when you say something like totally arrogant, you're going to look real dumb. And then you're going to like, what, say it's their fault for not like giving you those compliments that you've been getting. Like, evolve and become something better within yourself, because that's just something that you just got lucky with. So that's my one thought on that. But also, it's like, because the gays have to deal with so much hate all the time, that I think that they somehow have to just like release it. And rather than release it productively, like through working out or something, obviously a lot of gay guys work out, but like a lot of gay guys don't. They turn to like drugs and alcohol and partying and just like look at me and wear crazy clothes and like, which is fine. But it's like there's this over arrogant, like, because like they don't know how to react when people are putting them down. They have this huge defense mechanism in which they're ready to like, you know, but then they're like, but I want to be accepted and liked, so I can't do. And then it confuses them. And then the people that are in the community that they should be the nicest to, they're the meanest to, because they have clout within the community. And it's like, no, you don't. You have this illusion of it. So there is like a toxic type of, you know, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to, you know, if I look like this, then I'm the shit. But it's like, you could earn a body. So if you're like saying like, oh, well, he blow, like, no, dude, like, it takes me out. Like, I've been training for an Ironman for like the last 5 months. And I've like this April done 575 miles on my bike alone. Like, it takes time. I have lactic acid in my muscles, and it's the stress hormone. And I'm always sore, and I'm always thinking about food and like what to eat, how many grams of protein. So, you know, people that are super in shape, if you actually get down and talk to them and ask for their help, they love to help. Like give it a shot. But there's definitely some kind of weirdness to that, that femme is bad, and which is not. It's just you're in tune with your emotions.
Well, yeah, and I think the problem is it's when it becomes exclusive, where, you know, you're not invited to the party, or you're not invited to our brunch or whatever it is, because you're fat and femme. And, you know, that's when it becomes the issue. It's not an issue of it's an issue of when it becomes clicky, and you're just not, you know, everyone has their preferences. Everyone's going to, you know, some people really are really just attracted to very muscular people. Like, that's just their type. And then, so when it's like, but when it becomes like, when you start excluding people because they don't look the part, because they're not white, because they're too fat, that's when it becomes the major issue. In my opinion. And I mean, I personally don't have any experiences with that. I don't have friends that are like that. I was never in a group that was like that, but I just know it's out there. And just doing this podcast, talking to people, I know I was talking to one guy up in LA. He's a gay Muslim. So he's not really white either. And he's a little overweight, but he was just telling me about the whole scene in LA is like you're masculine, you're white, and you have abs, and you're doing coke all the time in the same circle jerks, like doing all this stuff. And it's this toxicity that comes from it. But yeah, of course, there's nothing wrong with working out or looking good. I think that we should actually encourage that because it's healthier. And it's we like, want dude, our like, people when, to be healthy.
People are, I don't mean to cut you off, but like if people are like doing cocaine and like look like that, do you really want to like hang out with those people? Like they're doing you a favor. And like honestly, like groups, no matter what, I think gay people forget that like straight people also go through adversity, like the same thing. Like honestly, like I love to golf. I'll invite anybody to come golf with me. It doesn't matter if you suck or whatever. But like if we're playing in a scramble format, most of the time I'm calling my go-getters to, but that's to achieve a money-winning prize and to vibe off of each other and hit the best shot possible to win something. So it's kind of like a draft, but like, you know, to not invite somebody to a party because they're like, okay, you're not dating them. You don't have to sleep with them. You don't have to like, and it's like, I get like, you get like, but it's like, what is the point of not having them in your group? Like, unless they're like socially super awkward, like go out and try to help them become more comfortable within themselves so they could adapt. Cause I think straight, gay or anybody, they don't, people that are socially awkward don't get invited to things because there's this vibe that they, you know, I was on a live once and this kid escaped a cult and he's talking. I'm like, damn, this is fucking interesting. Like as soon as he said that, I'm like, wait, blinders. Cause like, you don't hear that often. And like, I watched this Joe Rogan podcast about that girl from King of Queens who was in Scientology. I'm like, this is gonna be interesting. And like within a minute, somebody wrote, oh my God, this is so cringe. Get him off. And he was like talking like this. And I like blocked that person so fucking quick. I'm like, this kid doesn't deserve to hear that shit. And I'm like, get the fuck off my live right now. And he didn't see it. I was like, sweet, if he sees this, but you know, whatever. We're still friends. And you know, like, dude, like people need to understand that you're gonna learn something from somebody else's experience. And it's only cringe is because you're too insecure to put yourself there emotionally and empathize with the situation, which then creates apathy, which is wrong with the world.
Yeah, I think that was perfectly said. Perfectly said. So what inspired you to create your TikToks? Your whole account, I guess, it's awesome. And shout it out real quick for anyone listening.
GareBear88. It's funny, people always go Garbar. I'm like, no, dude, like I'm sitting there like in my phone, they can't even hear me, like, it's GareBear. But it doesn't even mean it. But like you know, it was just by accident because I was like working and I made it and I like made a couple and like I like deleted them. And then like I went to a Spartan race and my first video, I was like, I just got done running like a 9-mile obstacle course race and they give you a beer when you're done. And it was the first time I actually ever drank the beer because I always forgot because I was just like so hungry. And I was doing pull-ups and, you know, my ex who, you know, we've had our problems and I wish him nothing but the best and I definitely love him still. And like, if I saw him in the street, I'd give him a big hug no matter what, because he definitely chilled me out a lot. So, if he ever sees like my videos, like, I hope he doesn't think that they're like about him or whatever. So like, that's just a shout out if he sees this, but, like I did a pull up and I had the beer in my mouth and as I'm doing, like, I did like 10 pull ups and then like at the end of it, I chugged the beer and then I started doing more pull-ups and like it went viral. Like it got like 108,000 views. I was like, oh, like I woke up the next day with 14,000 views. I'm like, dude, what? It's so fucking cool. I'm like, all right. And then like, I'm like, started making video and like the other one got like 3,000 views. I'm like, this is fucking crazy. And then I just kind of like kept going. So I was like, well, this is fun. I'm like, thank you, TikTok.
It's awesome. TikTok's been such a blessing and it blows my mind that you can just record something and put it out there and it could get 100,000 views. It could get 1 million views. Like it's insane.
TikTok. Honestly, I'm waiting for 1 million views so much. Like that's my goal. I just want one video with 1 million views and I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. Thanks.
Hey, I'm waiting too, believe it or not. So let's talk about working out more. Cause obviously you're very enthusiastic about working out. I think that that's pretty clear. What would you say to someone who is on the fence about working out, who maybe they haven't worked out, or maybe they did for a while and they failed, or they didn't like it or whatever. How would you inspire someone to get back into it? And I guess highlight the importance of why it's good for your health.
Well, that's funny because I did sales for fitness for 10 years. And like, I was the general manager at different places and the sales managers at numerous gyms. And that was my job every day, was to like try to talk somebody into doing something that they would have to pay for that they didn't want to do. And it's very awkward to talk to a 45-year-old woman about her weight within 3 minutes of meeting her. And you got to like really be empathetic. And like, these people don't realize if I talk to them the way I talk to me about working out, I would make them cry. And I got to step back and like, my money is based on you signing up. But I also want to see you do well, because like, some of these people I've been friends with for 10 years now. And I love to see them come back 20 pounds lighter and they go to that wedding that they were like originally talking about. And the thing about like working out that stop people is, the number one is the insecurity factor. They think like, oh, I'm going to walk in and all these people are, you know, dialed up and they got their outfits on and they're amazing looking and like, okay. But let me just tell you something. If they're doing that and the girl has makeup on and the guy is like, they're only thinking about themselves. Trust me, they're not even beginning to judge you. Like, they're so into themselves, like they don't even see you. You could talk to them and they might be like, what? Oh, hey, I didn't see that. And like, so don't worry about that. And two, that goes along with like gaining confidence of doing things that make you feel uncomfortable. So, you know, and to be honest with you, gym goers, there's a clique that everybody is involved with, and like, everybody knows everybody and you say hi to everybody. And if you come up to a guy like me or like anybody, they will help you. They cannot wait to give you the knowledge that they've learned because it makes them feel so good. And gym life is like just wonderful. So don't feel insecure that you're going to get judged, because you're not. And if you do, that's a really horrible person. And like 99% of the people aren't going to do that. So don't worry about that. And remember, everybody starts from ground zero, unless you're like that rip kid and like, you know, you have abs and then you just start gaining muscle. Like, they started like a little bit ahead of you. But, you know, I started working out when I was, what, 12 years old with a 20-pound dumbbell. I had 12-inch arms when I was like 12. Like, dude, like, that's nothing. And then like when I was 14, I was working out with guys that were benching 300-something pounds already. And I was only benching, I don't even remember, like 155 or something. And then, you know, you grow. And like, you know, by the time I was 18, I was benching 365 pounds. And it's like, you just got to put the work in. So it takes time. And it's not like a race, it's a marathon. Because if I for 2 weeks don't work out and eat whatever, I will lose my muscle. It'll be like gone. So you have to consistently understand that this is a lifestyle. So there's no quick fixes. It's just good nutrition, which is 80% of it. And then the rest is working out and getting good recovery and sleep. And then, like, if you want me to talk about nutrition, I'd be more than happy to. Obviously,
yeah, let's go into it.
Massive amounts of red wines, but I deserved it. I did fasted cardio today. I don't even know how many miles I rode on my bike this week. So nutrition, which is super important, it fuels your body. Your body is basically a car, and you're putting premium gas in it or you're putting shit gas into it. And if you're putting like, you know, super bad drugs in, that's like putting diesel into a regular car, and your car's going to just fucking die within a mile. So no sugar. It's real simple. This is real simple. No sugar. I was eating 5 grams of sugar a day minimum for like 2 or 3 years. You got to understand that your body needs protein. Usually it's 1.6 times the amount of weight you are. So I usually take like 150 to 200 grams of protein, which is probably too much, but whatever. And then keep your carbs low and eat carbs before you do your workout, because those are going to be utilized as energy. And there's two types of carbs, is simple carbs and complex carbs, and one's fast burning and one's slow burning. I might have to run in and get my other headphones. Tell me if you can't hear me anymore, or I'll just put them in here for a second. So, you know, just stay away from all the junk food, the sugar, the pop, the alcohol. If you do that, you will, oh my God, the amount of weight you're going to lose from just doing that is amazing. And you're going to feel great. Now, if you start incorporating like ground turkey, chicken, eggs, you know, water, all, you know, water, and like just getting in, like walking 10,000 steps every day, like you will see such a significant difference that it's just amazing. But people don't realize, like, socially, food is such a social thing, and you know, people eat to, you know, their feelings and stuff, and it's like, I get that. And like, some people have traumatic things that happened to them, you know, they weren't given a life like me, so I definitely, you know, empathize with that. That's why I take my time, and I don't know how many times I've messaged people, maybe thousands, of what to eat, and sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't, but it's all on them.
How are you doing in quarantine with this whole diet and working out thing? Has your routine changed at all, or what's it like?
Drastically has changed, sorta. The first week I slept 12 hours a day. I wasn't working because, you know, I'm low level seniority at my job because I started last year. I'm a union concrete driver. So basically, you know, the head guys work, and if there's no work, the lower guys are off. And obviously winter affects construction. So, you know, I was off, and the quarantine affected it. So, and I try to get out of my house as much as I can. I hate being home. I cannot stand it. If you put me to work from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then I go to the gym for 5 hours, like, I'm happy as a clam. So I'm at home and I'm like, well, I'm just going to sleep because there's no point. Then I realize, like, this is not going to be over. And you got to, like, come out of this being you again. So I just started dieting again, and I started bike riding because I was bike riding at the gym for, like, 3 to 4 hours a day. After my weightlifting session, because the Ironman consists of a 112-mile bike ride. So I was like, I better get on this because I'm going to go there. I'm going to be like, I quit. Like, this is fucking crazy. And I still just recently did the 100 miles for the first time ever 2 days ago. And I still was like, dude, I'd have 12 more miles to go. I was done. Like, I was like, dude, I'm eating fucking meatloaf. I'm like, somebody shoot me because I'm tired. And then I like looked up Nick Bear, who I met in Texas, that has a nutrition company called Bear Nutrition Performance. And I'm reading this book right now called The 25th Hour, 25 Hours a Day. And I followed his YouTube channel for like the last 4 years. He ran his Ironman in 11 hours and 28 minutes. So it took me 10 hours to do a 100-mile bike ride. That means in an hour and a half, I would have had to have gone 12 more miles on the bike, swam 2.4 miles, and then ran a marathon. Like, dude, how much more elite are you than me? Like, I felt like such a bitch. And, like, that's what people don't realize. Like, on ego, like, there's somebody out there that totally kicks your ass. So don't get too cocky, because there's 80-year-old women that do these Ironmans. I'm like,
wow. Jeez. So what Ironman is this for you? You said you've done them before.
I haven't even picked one yet. Because the one, the quarantine travel money, there's one in Hawaii that I'd like to do. So basically, to answer your question, since I'm so good at just staying on point, like, I just bike ride outside now, and I try to go as long as I can. And then I was fortunate enough to have one of my friends that owned a gym. I had no weights. I remember a lifetime in charter, so I always had gyms. He gave me a straight bar with 2 45-pound plates, so that's 135 pounds that I could do numerous workouts with. And then I got 2 15-pound dumbbells that I use for numerous workouts. So it actually is kind of perfect, not gonna lie. It's kind of awesome. The only thing is, I'm just not lifting as heavy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a strange time for everyone right now. I could encourage everyone to try to, you know, stay in whatever routine you had before. You know, don't venture too far into the woods, into the weeds of eating unhealthy or doing things like that. Do you need to charge those?
Give me like 3 seconds.
Okay. So furry hater, I'm going to entertain the people with this furry hater guy. He continues to send us bad comments. So furry hater, you have to accept being heterosexual is natural and prosperous. What kind of meaningful stuff do gay people bring to society? I'm sorry. What don't we bring to society? I don't understand how it's any different. What do heterosexual people bring?
We
to
don't
society?
Bring hate, bro.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Like, what the fuck are you bringing, man?
I'm very confused by what he's doing in our live stream. But he continues to pop off. So if anyone has real questions or wants to hear more from us directly, just send us a comment on here.
Is there like a kid out there that needs help with something? Because that's like the primary focus that I would love to like have somebody get confidence through just asking something and thinking differently.
I'm sure someone who's going to listen to this when it's posted will definitely get some value out of that and get their confidence kicked into gear.
You can still hear me, huh?
Yeah, I can hear you. So yeah,
it's better.
Not as, it's a little bit better.
It's funny because like right now they probably charge perfectly.
Right, they charge so fast.
Hopefully. Hello.
Hey, there you are. I can hear you.
Oh, sweet.
So let's talk about getting confident. Were you ever have you ever been like not confident? Like, talk to me about your experience, your times when you were struggling with that or feeling down about yourself. Was there any ever breakups or?
Oh, dude.
Like anything that shot your confidence? Was there any times that like really shot your confidence? Not like, oh, this guy can run the marathon faster than me, but like actual.
Oh, no, dude. I've been through the ringer with relationships. I don't like, I'll never say names, but like, you know, the amount of times I've been cheated on and lied to, it's just crazy in the way I found out. And then like when I was 20 something, maybe two, you know, I had met somebody that I thought was like really cool, my type, blah, blah, you know, and we had fun and we were safe, obviously. And, you know, within like a week, I get a call like, oh, I got something to tell you. And I'm like thinking like, oh, it's going to be a joke, I hope. And like, I'm like, but it might not. And he's like, I just wanted you to know that I was HIV positive. And I'm like, dude, like I'm 22. I've never experienced any kind of health issues. And so you basically didn't tell somebody and had sex with him. And like, he was undetectable, but at 22, I had no idea. I've never experienced anything. Now I'm like the fucking guru on that subject. Cause I've, you know, studied all the things and, you know, for 5 months, well, back then I guess like maybe the tests weren't as good as they are now, but I think it's like 90 days now it takes for HIV to show up in your bloodstream in order to get tested. And so for 5 months, you know, I'm this 22-year-old guy that can't talk about this stuff with anybody, and I'm by myself thinking I have this thing possibly, and I gotta wait to get tested. And like, you know, and then just like to be lied to is just like, dude, that's like the first time I was lied to with like crazy shit. And like obviously like everything was fine and I got tested numerous times after that. And, you know, I do get tested like all the time, which everybody should. And I'm clean with obviously everything because, you know, I practice safe stuff. And, you know, that was detrimental to my psyche to go through that and not have anybody to talk to about that. And then it actually happened again later on. And it happened with like, you know, somebody that I was dating. And then, you know, because I found out I was getting cheated on through, you know, hacking emails and whatnot, but I'm not going to talk about that much. But like, it's just like every time I'm so nice. Like the amount of times I've like, you know, drove an hour to pick somebody up or like, you know, met families, and to just have somebody like literally be on their phone next to you texting other people. I didn't even know what Grindr was till I was 26. And the only reason I found out about it was because I saw it. I was like, you know what? I was like, I don't trust nobody. So, you know, I went through my ex's phone and like, I see it and I'm like, oh shit, what's this? And then you just see all the messages and you're like, it was just like, holy fuck, dude. Like you just, I was just flabbergasted that somebody just could just not give a shit. Like they don't, when any time I try to achieve something, like I see the end result and like, I'm going to win that thing. I'm going to hit that shot. I'm going to lift that weight. And it's like, nobody in the gay community sees the end result, which is like, the cute fucking pictures with your kids that you adopted or whatever, and the dog and the house and the jobs and the cars and the fun shit. They don't see that. They just see, like, I don't know what the fuck they see. They just see this, like, emotional release for, like, an instant. But they don't think down the road, and that's all I thought about. And now it's, like, because of how many times I've been lied to and the amount of effort continuously, like, I just blocked somebody the other day that I really, really liked. And, you know, I messaged her, like, I was having a horrible day. And I definitely struggle with, like, super, super anger issues, like, because, like, I consistently want to, like, not tell people because, like, I don't know, I just stay quiet within the realm. But, like, that's why I work out so much, is because I'm very fucking angry because of all the experiences I've had through these guys that don't put in any effort. I put fucking more effort into strangers than they do their own fucking people that they try to date. You know, I got somebody texting me at 2 o'clock in the morning after like a 10-hour workday and working out, and I'm still talking to them about their life and their experiences. And it's like, dude, I can't get somebody to fucking just be decent. Like, dude, it's fucking mind-boggling. And it just irks me, and I'm kind of done. Like, I'm kind of done with relationships because I've never met anybody that is even – because I used to give the benefit of the doubt, but that's gone. Like, if within whatever amount of seconds you can't teach me something or do something that I'm like, damn, that's fucking impressive, because I'm consistently looking at David Goggins, Navy SEAL. I'm looking at this dude, fucking entrepreneur. I'm looking – like, I want to be like these guys, like you on your tick. Like, I want to be like fucking successful, like people that have integrity. And it's like nobody's shown me that, so – I've definitely, like, you know, and I'm an only child, and, you know, I just overthink everything. So, like, I just beats into me over and over again. And, like, that's what I miss most about my relationship, though. Like, my past one was, you know, I always joke about cuddling on TikTok. I'm like, dude, I need cuddles really bad. Like, I do. Like, if I, like, hug my ex, like, even today, I could fall asleep like this. Yeah. If I try to go to fucking sleep, I stay up 2 days in a row some days. It's horrible. It's so bad for your health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even missing an hour of sleep, then your normal sleep schedule is terrible for your health. I've had my own experiences with that. But so do you see a pattern in all these people that have cheated on you? Is there like a certain thing like thing that you've noticed or pinpointed, or is it just like it's just what you expect?
I just think that's the gay community. Like, they, like, and it's like, one, social media allows people to slide into DMs so quickly. You got Grindr, and, you know, guys are guys. Like, if girls were like guys, like, my god, like, the only reason straight guys don't have more sex is because straight girls know that that's all they want sometimes, and they don't allow it. So, like, they're like a dog on a leash, and they gotta wait. And that's the only reason. And there's no, like, dog, like, there's no fucking dog owners in the gay community. They, like, they don't fucking, like, make them earn it, you know? And, yeah, it's just kind of fucked up and sad. And, like, now, and it's evolved me to just, like, be like, all right, well, I guess I'm just gonna have fun. And, you know, if I get, you know, a sleepover with a cuddle, like, and it expands, like, sweet. But if not, then I've just taught myself to be alone again. Which has been great because, like, my impressions are on point quicker, you know, but there's just, like there's everything's on point quicker, but there's not that chill. I don't have a chill button anymore. You know, it's just go, go, go. And it's like, I need to fucking chill the fuck out.
Have you practiced meditation or tried meditation?
I meditate throughout the entire day. Like, okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Meditation's phenomenal. You know, when you're biking, just think about your feet, and then all of a sudden you just think about, like, you know, clearing your mind is the number one thing. With, like, I like to tell people, like, your mind is your best friend or your most powerful weapon, and people don't realize that. Just root themselves in the current moment, like, literally, like, I'm talking to you about all these things and I'm actually experiencing all these past things, but what am I really doing? I'm just sitting here. So it's like Bruce Lee with the cup of tea, like, just empty your cup, chill out. Like, it's better not to think about anything and realize everything's an illusion and nothing means nothing, and then restart over. And people need to, like, really understand that. Yeah. Because they wake up and think, like, oh, I got the nice car. Like, oh, I'm the... No, dude, you're not the shit. Like, dude, you bought that car, and, like your dad helped you get that job, or, like, something, I don't know. Like, there's always a way to humble yourself. So, But yeah.
Absolutely. And that is a consumer. Is it consumerism the word? I don't know. But there's a problem. Another problem amongst the gay community, in my opinion, is this image of what they think success is, like the Gucci bag, the Chanel glasses, you know, which there's nothing wrong with that. Those can be cool. But it's like if you have $12 in your wallet and you have a Gucci belt on, that's not success. That you're not rich. You know, you could look the part and try to look the part, but you're not fooling anybody. And I don't know where I was going with this, but I think I was just trying to make a point of like, we need to focus more on each other and on relationships and who we are as a human and being a good, decent human rather than looking like what we think success is, or what we think the ideal person should be. And that was kind of my point.
Overcompensate so much. And like, if you ever get cheated on, like anybody out there listening to this, like, It's not your fault. Like literally fucking right there 9,000 times. Cause I put so much, like, I just felt like the biggest piece of shit. Like, I was like, dude, like, what did I like? And I just put it on me. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. It's like, so stop beating yourself up. Like, holy shit. Like, stop beating yourself up. Like people just do. Like, it's like, I don't care how smart you are. Your heart will fucking take over your brain 9 times out of 10. And you want to be with them and you want to watch that movie and it's fine. And like, you love them, but you should love yourself more to the point where you don't put yourself through that stress.
Mm. And how do you, in your experience, how do you practice self-love?
I'm like selfish. Cause like, you know, I'm going to go golfing. Like I always say, like, dude, if I come home from work and you can't entertain me more than a James Cameron movie, that I'm not gonna fucking be with you. Like it was a joke, but like it's true. Like I like my time is my most important thing, and like, you know, that's how I practice self love, through working out. You know, it sounds stupid, but like, you know, showering like a longer time, and like, you know, just doing like things for you, and eating kind of right and balancing it out, and just not putting yourself in stressful situations. Cause like, I always, like when I was like younger, I always felt like it was kind of like lame that people needed people to complete themselves. And maybe I'm biased, hence the fact I always call myself out, because if you are not able to call yourself out, then there's something wrong. But like, I was given two great parents. I was given two grandparents that lived across the yard from me. I saw them every day. If I had to use the bathroom and our bathroom was taken, I'd run across the fucking yard. My grandpa's like, "What's wrong?" And then I'd run in the bathroom. He's like, "Oh, yeah, I go to the bathroom." He's laughing. Like, he'd buy me popsicles. We go golfing. Like, I had tremendous amounts of people in my corner. And I know what it feels like to have people in my corner. And that was my number one goal in a relationship, to show them and give them hope that, like, dude, I got your back. Like, you have no idea how badly I got your back. But, like, nobody respects that. And I always thought when I was a kid, like, but I don't need you to complete me at all. I complete me. And like, when you see people at parties with like boyfriend, girlfriend, like, and they're fighting for like the entirety of the party in the corner. Holy shit. Like, dude, you just wasted so many great opportunities to have fun. Yeah. You need to get out of that relationship. Like, it's not worth it. People fight, and you know, you're never not going to not fight, but when that's the thing, you need to leave. And people just don't, because they're comfortable in the routine and they don't understand what life's like outside of that. And they're afraid to do that because they're ignorant to that feeling.
Totally. Yeah. If you're fighting all the time in a relationship, then you might want to reevaluate that relationship. I liked what you said. You said something about being comfortable alone, or comfortable, you know, comfortable without a relationship, because I think a lot of people, especially, I know our audience skews younger, but they, when you're growing up and you're going through high school and college, you think that you need that boyfriend to complete you, as you said, like you need that boyfriend or girlfriend to give you validation. And I think it's so important to reiterate that you're valid as you are, you know, as an individual. You don't need that. You don't need anything else to validate you, anything external. You don't need a boyfriend to validate you. You don't need Gucci shoes to validate you. You just need yourself, and you need to practice self-love. And I think that's just so important for young people to hear, because I know that a majority of people who are struggling with that, they believe that they're not valid or worthy. And so they turn to exterior things, and sometimes it's harmful, toxic things like a bad relationship, or they get in a bad situation with money because they overcompensate and spend, you know, money they don't have. So I appreciate you bringing that point up.
And it's so, like, I want, like, the younger gay kids to, like, just write down in a journal over and over again that you're worth it. Like, cause, like, I was given, like, 9 billion hugs as a kid. Like, dude, that just creates confidence and love in you. Like, and if you're, like, experiencing a family that doesn't do that for you, like, that's one, super unfair. Two, don't let the hate win. And, like, it's so much easier said than done, especially at, like, the young age. And, you know, they're growing up in a time where I didn't have technology like this. We had camera phones when I was a senior. I was like, what the fuck's that? And it's like a camera phone. I'm like, dude, that's so sick. I'm like, let me see that. It was like a flip phone too. It wasn't even an iPhone yet.
The Motorola Razr.
Oh, dude, you were you were cool if you had the Razr. I'm like, dude. I'm like, so, like, you know, so these kids are in school and they can't even get away from it because, oh, there's like social media sites that are made just to hate on that one kid. It's like, that is fucked up. You're an evil person. If you spend any amount of time to make somebody else's life worse, like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you have something so wrong with you if you do that.
Yeah. Well, Gary, we just did a little bit over an hour. Do you want to drop your socials, shout them out?
Sure. GareBear88 is my TikTok, and GareBear88 is my Insta, and I'm going to start a YouTube channel and talk more about things and dive into questions a little bit deeper. And I hope you guys learned something. And I really, really appreciate you. And maybe next time we do this, we could switch gears and I could interview you, because that's what I usually do, is talk about myself. I'm like, well, thanks, dude. I kind of like, that was nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's do it. Hey, there's always a spot available for you on this podcast. So
do we ever have any actual questions?
Let me look real quick. I don't see any like actual questions, but yeah, that furry person, I kicked him out. So the furry hater. he was getting annoying for everyone, he or she, whatever they are, they were getting annoying, engaging in comments that I just didn't feel like needed to be commented. I appreciate it, Gary. And I hope you have a wonderful, safe time in quarantine and continue to make your awesome videos.
Thank you, sir. Be safe too.
Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show, where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ+ advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit thetrevorproject.org, or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.